Well, there's some songs that are written maybe a couple hundred years ago, but they just never grow old, do they? Like that one, "How Great Thou Art." I want to bring your attention this morning to Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, you can take a look at that. We are going to look at a parable. We've been going through the parables through the summer, and we're concluding with this parable this morning. And then starting next week, we're going to be starting into the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we're looking forward to looking at the title, Different. I believe when you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you find out how different we're meant to be. We're called to be as a follower of Christ. And as I looked at this morning and thinking about a kickoff Sunday and also 10-year anniversary, I just thought the parable of the Good Samaritan would be a great story to focus in on today, because it brings us down to one person helping another person. And when you think about that, the church, a community church, is about people coming alongside of one other person. And it's one person at a time that God touches. And so it's a great story, and we're going to get through this. And some of my points might be more in the form of a tweet, because I can start smelling those burgers out there. Can you smell them? And I know that once that really gets strong and you've been sitting here for a while, I've lost you anyhow. By that point. But we're going to spend a little time here looking at this great, famous story. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, it says, it sets it up. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told them. "Do this, and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked, and the man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Famous story. Amazing how the term Good Samaritan has even come to just kind of enter into kind of common vocabulary. You've heard of the Good Samaritan. Maybe you've stayed at Good Sam Club campgrounds. The whole idea behind it is to stop and to help somebody along the way. Now, that's part of the picture. It's a much bigger picture than that. We want to unwrap a little bit of that this morning. But that whole idea of being stranded and stuck and needing help. Some of you have experienced that before. You might be going through your minds and go, "I was stuck once, and a Good Samaritan came along." On our vacation this summer, we had an experience like that. We were camping just a few weeks ago near Pemberton, and we got this crazy idea that we were going to go kind of down a logging road south of Pemberton. It actually connects with Harrison Lake, and take my brother's old SUV vehicle. Interesting, I was driving his car. We went down this road, and wouldn't you know it, about 70 kilometers into the middle of nowhere, we had a flat tire stuck on the side of the road. Now, nothing as serious as this man, but when you're in that moment, and you're in the middle of nowhere that you've got no cell reception, you haven't seen cars for a very long time, and there was a moment of, okay, what do we do? Well, get out the flat, okay, get out the spare tire and replace it. So my son Austin and I, we jump out, we go, "We can do this, we can get out the jack," and we start going for it. Well, here's the deal. My brother's SUV, the back hatch hasn't been open for years. He uses the automatic window to go in and out of the back. Turns out we can't get at the tire without getting open the hatch. So we're standing there, we're stuck. All of a sudden, we hear a car. I've never seen my wife run so fast for the road. So we run out there and wave him down. Turned out the guy was totally willing to help. Forestry guy stops, takes a look at it. We pull out his toolkit. I didn't have one. Try and open the hatch. Do everything we can. It's stuck. It is so stuck. He goes, well, hey, you know what? I've got a two-way radio. And I know there's actually a town called Tupelo right here. It's a First Nations reserve. And maybe somebody there is able to help you out. Gives them a call. Wouldn't you know it, within 5 minutes, there's Chuck and Joe coming in their truck. He says, I got a tire shop I just opened on the front of my place there. And they jack it up, take my tire off, replace the tire with an old one just to help me hobble out. I was so indebted. And on top of that, I didn't even have the cash to pay them. The forestry guy says, here's some cash. You can do that. I had $20. He gave me money even to help him. Now, amazing what people can do and are able to do for you. Maybe you've been in a chance to be on the other side of it. And there's that sort of sense of satisfaction and gratitude. You know what? I was able to help a fellow human being along. And this morning, I hope this story inspires us that way. I hope it inspires us to reach out, to help another person who might be in need. I think Jesus, too, is bringing to us an even deeper and greater point as well. And it's a little bit is kind of wrapped up in the question that's being asked of Jesus right off the start. You see, what we had here was an expert in the religious law coming to him. And I think he was looking at Jesus and going, man, you know what? Jesus seems to kind of attract anybody. Not just the kind of people that are like me, not the people that I just see that, you know, are good enough and religious enough and seem to be, you know, paint within the lines kind of thing. Jesus was attracting a whole lot of different kinds of people. And I believe they were coming to him because there was something deep within himself that was pouring out to others, grace and love. And this guy looked at it in a very grand, gracious way, and he says, he was asking a good question, but with a very wrong motive. And it says in the passage, too, he was testing Jesus. He was asking him. He says, now what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And I think he was looking for Jesus kind of to lower the bar and say, you know, well, just believe in me, and that'll be it. And Jesus, in fact, took it and turned it around and said, well, what does the law say? So this guy, rather than spending a week going into all the details of the law, which he was very, you know, in on and up on, he gives the summary of it. And in Hebrew and Jewish world, it's known as the Shema. He says, it is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. They said that almost every day. They would recite that, these experts in religious law. Jesus goes, good, go and do that. The guy was caught in his own game. I mean, who of us have loved perfectly, have loved God perfectly, have loved another person perfectly? Jesus took the bar that this guy thought was way down here, and he put it way up here. Jesus did it for a very important point. Because he saw into the guy's heart that he was trying to justify himself. And Jesus wanted this guy to understand, as he does each one of us, that we cannot possibly justify ourselves. None of us loves perfectly. None of us lives perfectly. None of us belongs to a perfect church by a long shot. We all need God's justification in our lives. We need his forgiveness. We need his help. We need him to come along and to help us. And so Jesus takes him through this story, and he goes right to who is the neighbor. And he brings out a point that would have been shocking to the people at the time. You see, Jesus pointed him to a man who was known as a Samaritan. Now, Samaritans at that time were people who were part Jewish, but in the Jewish mind, they had sold out. They had married into other nations around them. This had happened like in the 8th century B.C., when many of the people were taken into exile. A whole group of people stayed back, and they married in, and they developed some of the customs and rituals of those folks as well. When the Jewish people came down back, they kind of looked down their noses at these people and said, sorry, you can't help us rebuild the temple. So the Samaritans went and built their own temple in Gerizim, and And there ended up being this divide. This, I'm not letting you in on my circle. And though they were neighbors geographically, they were not neighborly to each other, especially the Jews to the Samaritans. And Jesus went out and told a story where the Samaritan ends up as a hero. Isn't that classic, Jesus? He just kind of takes and he messes it all up in our heads and he goes, okay, you think those people are all bad and you've got all sorts of judgments towards them, but he is the one who stops and helps. He tells the story about, I can imagine Jesus telling the story and there's a priest coming along. And the people go, oh, surely the priest is going to stop. No. He goes to the other side of the road. Another temple assistant comes along. He walks right by, takes a look at him, walks right by. I'm sure all of these guys may have had their reasons, but it's the Samaritan who stops. He takes the time. He bandages the wounds. He puts him on his own donkey, and he goes and helps him. I think the point that Jesus wants all of us to look at, though we might not have anybody that we would call a Samaritan in our lives, but who is there that's outside of our circle? The circle that we kind of say, this is comfortable for me. These are the people that I, you know, help out. These are the people that will help me out. Jesus is saying, it's everyone. It's that person who you might even consider an enemy that I want you to reach out and love. And it can't be something that's conjured up. It's something that comes from the very inner part of us. In this story, it tells about the Samaritan. It says he felt compassion on him. In the original language, there's something really visceral, like it's right from the very core of who he was, coming out of him in love, wanted to reach out to him. Love is helping anyone who is in need, anyone in any social, economic, racial, or religious circle. Jesus is looking for that. Jesus is looking for the core of following him. And I think at a time like this where we celebrate Coast Hills in the past and we celebrate in the future, we want to be a church that is a church that acts on love, a church that is radically inclusive, a church that reaches out to anyone, no matter who you might be. I think it's such a great story because here we have a guy saying, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to step out. It says he goes to the inn. He takes out 2 silver coins. And we might think, well, how much is that? Is that like, you know, a couple of toonies? It's actually a silver coin was a day's wage. So this guy, beyond taking all the time and effort at risk to himself, who knows where there'd be more bandits around that would attack him, he also reaches into his pocket and he pulls out 2 days' wages. Now, if you're making $100 a day, that's like $200. If you're making $500, it's like $1,000. It's a lot. That's a sacrifice. And he goes out and he helps this man. And then he says, and if you need anything more, on my way back, I'll make it up. I'll make it up. Love is action. Love is saying, you know what, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to take my resources, and I'm going to be helping others. And I think today, you know, as we celebrate Coast Hills as well, there's been so much of that that has happened in this church, and it's wonderful to kind of hear that and to hear the stories and to hear the kind of love that is expressed. And I know it goes so much more beyond just being kind of caught in a ditch and on a lonely road. It's about the kind of coming alongside of. It's the kind of relationships. It's meeting some of our deepest needs when it comes to relationship and loneliness and our deepest needs, which is all about forgiveness and grace. This man does that. This good Samaritan goes and is a neighbor. I think the right question to ask is not, who is my neighbor, but rather, to whom can I be a neighbor? And as we look forward as a church and each of us individually, I want to say, who is it that God's calling me to reach out and love to? Is my neighbor somebody in my family? Is it actually my literal neighbor? Is it my neighbor at work? Is it my neighbor at school? How can I have that kind of heart that Good Samaritan modeled for us, that has compassion, that says, you know what, even if it is inconvenient, I'm going to take the time. I'm going to go and be with that person. I'm going to go and help them in a very practical and physical way. It's wonderful when you see that living out among us in a church body. Can you imagine if each person goes and touches a community with that kind of perspective each day, each week. You know, part of our vision when we when Coast Hills got started was, and it was alluded to up there, is the acronym LIFE. Our hope is that the life of Jesus is lived out and experienced and explored in when we kind of come together as a church. And the LIFE is an acronym or an acrostic. And the first part of it, the L part, is loving Jesus passionately. And, you know, if we were to kind of revisit that again, I think I might say love Jesus passionately, having received and experienced God's love. Because I think when we talk about loving Jesus passionately, which is really the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, it's about discovering that there's a love for us that is the kind of love that the Good Samaritan modeled. Really, what Jesus is the Great Samaritan. The Great Samaritan comes and he sees all of us. When we get a grasp of our brokenness, of our failing to live up to the law, we see God as that ultimate Great Samaritan who crosses the circle, even when we're enemies of God, and says, I'm here to help your woundedness, to bring life to you. All of us come from the same place of woundedness and brokenness and helplessness. All of us spiritually are at least half dead, needing God to help us and to come into our lives. And the wonderful message of grace that we sung about even this morning, how great thou art, is a God who would come and meet us in that brokenness and heal us. And when that touches our hearts, it does something. It changes us. You know, it's kind of like, and you might see people as they worship together, is to put their hands up to God as like, God, I am just so thankful for that love that's coming down in my life. And if our hands are upward, it's going to move outward. That's why you can't separate the two. Love God, love your neighbor. That's what it's all about. And Jesus just brings it right down to the core simplicity. He says it's about that. And the man goes away. We aren't told what happens in his heart, but he goes away challenged. The second part of our vision statement is getting involved in others, in loving your neighbor. There's this wonderful thing that God does where he invites us to go out and to express his life to others. There's a million ways that God could have done it, but he chooses us individually and as a local church to go out and to communicate his love. His desire is that his love would be communicated, that the lost would be found, that believers would be equipped, that the poor would be served, the lonely would be brought into community, and ultimately God would get the credit for all of that. God says, I'm willing to get involved in you. The Great Samaritan came into our lives and says, I'm willing to engage you in your life. I'm willing to enter into your mess, your struggle, your challenge, your joys, your struggles, whatever it is, and I'm here to walk beside you. I'm here to be involved in your life. And then the third part of our vision statement is where everyone finds friendship in God's family, where everyone knows that there's a place where I can call home, that there's a radical inclusivity that crosses any social barriers, any economic barriers, any racial, any religious barriers, and welcomes people to come in and say, we're all on the same page together, all needing this God, this Great Samaritan, to come and to heal our brokenness. Jesus, with him, everyone was welcome. The homeless, the sick, the old, the people who are not from the same ethnic origin, the morally suspect, the swindlers, the powerful, the experts in religious law, the marginalized, everyone was welcome. He said, come and discover me. Find out about how I have come to meet you in your brokenness, to raise your life again, to give you life. And when we do that, we experience something called grace. That's the fourth part of our acronym, is that everyone would extend grace to their neighbor because they realize that they've been a recipient of grace. I love the story, you may have heard it before, of C.S. Lewis walking into a room and there's a whole group of experts and religious folks sitting and talking about the nature of the church and what is the thing that the church has to offer to the world. They were talking about all the great things. Well, the church has gone out and been there for the homeless. And they were talking about it and saying, well, actually, you know, there's quite a few organizations that can do that quite well. The church has gone out and helped people with their health and built hospitals. You go, well, there's actually been a lot of people who have done that as well, done it quite well. Now, the church has gone out and developed relationships where people come together around a common interest. Well, a lot of people have done. The church has helped to raise some moral fiber in community and stuff. And so all these things were being talked about, and they're going, well, you know, a lot of people, organizations do that quite well. And C.S. Lewis comes walking in the room, and they said, he says, what's all the hubbub about? And they said, well, we're discussing what the church can offer that's unique to the church. And he didn't miss a beat. He just says, that's easy. It's grace. What other organization, what other organism, what other group of people come together with that common understanding that we all need God's grace? And so out of that flows this compassion, because we've received this help from the Great Samaritan, from God himself. We're able to be that to others. That's the church. That's God's vision for the church, working as it should and as it will. And we look forward to God continuing to do that among us. And maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I want to just open my heart to his grace again. I know that it's something that maybe to some degree I can feel. Maybe some of it seems even beyond my comprehension. But I believe that God really wants to help me. That in the person of Jesus Christ, he's come to forgive my sins and to give me a new start. It's as simple as saying, God, I'm open. I receive it. You might be here this morning, you might have questions in that regard. Much questions that surround life and eternal life and God. And as you saw in the video, there's an opportunity to explore that. And I would welcome you to talk to myself or one of the leaders that is leading Alpha. And we'd love to see you get involved in a group that would say, you know, what is this? What is this thing called grace? What is this relationship with God about? We want to be able to do that because we believe that when people meet the healing presence of God in their lives, when they've truly experienced their grace, it's bound to transform us. It's something completely unique. It comes only from God through Jesus. And his church is the organism through which it's given to the world. So we celebrate that this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I just want to feel and know God's touch this morning. I pray that you would. I pray that you would again say, you know what, I'm looking forward to whatever God has for the future. You know, we have this wonderful sense of looking to the past and seeing how God's been with us. And God is so honored by that. We also look to the past and say, yeah, there's been some brokenness there. And it hasn't been perfect. But the great thing about God and his grace is that we always start with a fresh page. And he says, I want to welcome you to look forward. I want to welcome you to look forward. See what God's going to do in and through you. How he's going to use you to heal up the wounds of others, to come alongside of them, and to see life breathe into others. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you. I thank you for how great you are. I thank you for the pictures you give us, even through your parables and your stories of people coming, and in the most surprising ways, showing us mercy and showing us your love. And Lord, we just want to open our hearts to your love again this morning, to your life. We thank you that you have loved us passionately, so much that you would die for us. I thank you that you've gotten involved in our world. You've been our ultimate neighbor, God. I thank you that you extend the invitation to call us your friends. And Lord, I just thank you that you have extended grace to us. And Lord, may we live that out. Will we experience it and live that out this week, this day, in your name. Amen.